Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris.
Not Dan, but Lee.
Yep, Danless.
We are Danless this week, yes.
Yeah, no conspiracy theories about it. He's away. plenty of other conspiracy theories floating around.
Too many to mention, I think, really.
Yeah, should we just go straight into talking about the race?
Let's do what we're here to do. Yeah. And talk about a race.
Talk about a race that actually happened, although... Yeah, that was fun at the start.
Lap one had numerous incidents, didn't it? But the main talking point being, of course, the Kvyat-Vettel incidents, where incidents because there's more than one.
Well, there was two of them. So
which Kvyat has said, "Well, I pressed the brake pedal going into turn two, and nothing happened, and so I hit Sebastian, and then a second time round, I didn't see what was going on ahead, so I didn't know he was going to slow down, and I hit him again."
Vettel swore more than me.
That was an impressive impressive use of the FIA bleep machine.
It was. Well done to the FIA bleep machine.
The FIA Gatling gun bleep machine.
Yeah, it was...
I can see Vettel's point why he was hacked off.
I can as well, and I think he fully accepts the fine that you get for swearing on the radio after the race, because, emotions took over, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, when you get hit behind, it turns out it's twice by the same person.
Yeah.
Lee, we were talking about this earlier, and I'm with you that I don't agree with Kvyat's explanation.
No.
Because Kvyat ran into the back of Vettel, and sure, he knew that he'd hit him, so surely he'd known he might have caused damage the car was going to be unpredictable, so he just goes and plows into him again.
But it's the thing of, like, why was he going in that hot anyway? He didn't have a front fucking wing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he could have carried on with the race as he was. You know, he wasn't fighting for position. He'd have been better off going off the track, essentially, and letting everyone else go by.
Problem was, though, of course, it was round about turn two, and nobody seems to be entirely sure what they have to do at turn two if they go off the track and they've got to go through the penalty box.
Well, that's the thing, as Lewis Hamilton actually narrowly avoided the incident with Vettel and Kvyat, the first incident, went off the track, and then rejoining the track, noticed he was ahead of Vettel and a couple of other drivers. And I think that confused the issue a little bit, because he was giving places back that he had taken... whilst taking the long but faster route round.
Yeah.
And as he was giving places back, then Kvyat smashed into Vettel again. Vettel almost spun into Hamilton.
Yeah.
And then across the track, and Max Verstappen was... the young lad's got quick reactions.
Yeah.
I don't know how he managed to avoid the... I'd love to have seen Max Verstappen's onboard footage of that.
Yeah, I don't think that's been released yet. But
that would have been bloody close. And I don't think he lifted off either. I think he was just steered out of the way of it.
I don't think you can lift off in those situations, because I think if you lift off, all of a sudden you're in the accident, whereas you're better off keeping your foot down, trying to get past it.
Lifting off probably means you're going to start another chain reaction going behind you, which basically happened to Vettel.
Yeah, that's it.
But I tell you what, though, in my eyes, I might be wrong, I'm wrong sometimes, but...
Can we just make a note of the date where he's actually said that?
I said sometimes... I should have said I will be wrong at some time. But it's like, as far as Kvyat goes, I think that's basically if it was a farm and he was a sheepdog and Helmut Marko was the farmer, he'd be putting the lead on that dog for the last time and walking out the back door with his shotgun.
Painting pictures with words there. Somebody tweeted to ask Crofty on the Sky coverage yesterday after the race, will we still see Kvyat in a Red Bull by the end of the season?
No way he's going at the moment, no. I mean, I do feel sorry for him, the incident in the previous race with Vettel, because that wasn't his fault. It was just a racing. It was a gap that Kvyat went for.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that Kvyat happened to run into Vettel twice on the first lap this time round.
The only other thing to think is, the only previous we have was last year when he was under pressure at the start of the season for performance. Helmut Marko had a chat with him,
and he
was ace, and he went and beat Ricardo. So if he handles pressure that well, maybe going forward, you know, maybe it'll be better for him.
Put him under more pressure so he responds.
Yeah, because one of those guys is going to lose their seat at the end of the year.
Yeah, almost certainly. I mean, looking at things from the Toro Rosso side of things,
both of them might.
Both of those could go. But John Booth, ex of Manor and currently of Manor World Endurance.
Has joined
Toro Rosso and is basically being a referee between the two drivers.
Mediator.
That is surprising. I mean,
I'd spot him on the pit wall and he didn't have a microphone, but he did have headphones.
Yeah.
So he's not in direct contact with any of the team.
He might not have actually started yet, maybe. You know, maybe it's a better.
Well, it's just a consultancy role.
Yeah.
But he's not in direct contact with the drivers, he's not in direct contact with the race strategy, such, but in the race director, I think, is the term he's been given, in a consultancy capacity.
Now, it'd be interesting to see how that pans out, because
we could end up with one of the Toro Rosso drivers being bumped up to Red Bull senior team before the end of the year.
Yeah. Would we see Kvyat demoted or just binned?
Yeah, I don't think he'd demote him. I think he'd just be gone out of the sport.
He's not a bad driver. He's not, you know, he's not a bad Formula One driver.
No, but Red Bull don't give their drivers many chances.
I think let's face it, they've knocked out better drivers than him.
Yeah.
Jamie Alguersuari and Jean-Éric Vergne.
Alguersuari was a brilliant driver. Yeah. He got booted out halfway through the season. He had bad luck most of the season he was booted out.
Yeah.
Same with Jean-Éric Vergne. Jean-Éric Vergne against who was it his teammate at the time? Was that Danny Kvyat?
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, they chose Kvyat over Jean-Éric Vergne, didn't they?
They also booted out Scott Speed. Good call.
Antonio Liuzzi, Christian Kleen. Until they got to Sebastian Vettel, they had to dig through some shit in that young driver program, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have created their
own. Christian Kleen drove for Red Bull eventually, though, didn't he?
What?
Didn't Christian Kleen eventually drive for Red Bull?
I don't think he was. There was no Toro Rosso, I don't think, at that point.
Before Toro Rosso Red Bull were just after Red Bull started.
Was he before? He was before Webber, wasn't he, Kleen?
Yeah, I think he came as part of the Jaguar buyout.
Yeah, and he was Coulthard's teammate for a short time. Then I think all the above circled round.
Yeah, it was Coulthard. Who is it this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was on like a seat sharing scheme with Liuzzi at one point, and it just got all messed up, and Coulthard just sort of carried on, doing what he did,
finishing 12th.
Yeah. there was, of course, the other incident at the back on turn one,
right at the back of the pack.
Yeah, Harry Anto getting some. I do believe the phrase is wicked air.
Which didn't get as much attention, obviously, as the Vettel-Kvyat incidents. But I feel a little bit sorry for Rio Haryanto, really.
I missed it, to be fair, I'll be honest.
Kind of saw it happening, but the replays didn't concentrate on it a great deal, because obviously the main talking point was
four-time world champion just being taken out.
Yeah.
Oh, shock horror, Rio Haryanto crashed.
But it wasn't
his fault.
Doesn't matter. He could.
Yeah.
Yeah, also ended up with Hulk going out as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't go out, did he? Did he go out of the race?
Yeah.
I thought he rejoined.
No. They kept saying he'd rejoined, but there was only one Force India going, and it was Perez.
Right.
We didn't see what fully happened, but all we know is Harry Anto's car ended up taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And NASA having to pit for a new nose.
So the man has got that little downforce, it's actually got positive lift.
By the sounds of things, yeah. I suppose it'll happen if you get a Sauber under your back end.
Yeah. It was that first lap, which then brought out the safety car, which kind of helped Hamilton's race a little bit and getting a bit further up the field.
Got him from, with everything that went on, they got him from 10th to 5th by the time the safety car came.
Yeah, but I mean, he got stuck behind a Williams for a little while, and then after the pit stops, sort of got past the Williams, and the race was quite interesting up until a certain point, but then
the only interesting thing was how was the Hamilton fight back. So as soon as he broke, it was fucked.
Yeah, as soon as they told me he had a water pressure problem, and that lead went from being 7 seconds back up to like 9 and then 11 again. It's like, oh well, the fight's over.
Yeah,
I mean, probably easier to go through team by team, is it, Paul? Should we
I think so. I mean, we'll start with Mercedes.
Yeah.
Just to butt in, go last and end with Mercedes, because I think we're going to have a bigger chat about Mercedes at the end.
There is quite a bit to talk about. Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay, we'll go from the back, which I suppose is manner, really.
Well, again, we just touched on Rio Harianto being.
It'd be pretty bad manners to miss them out.
Wee.
Oh.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Boy.
Yeah, Rio Harianto, you got to feel pretty sorry for him for that first corner incident.
It was looking good in qualifying, actually.
Yeah.
At one point, he had out-qualified Pascal Wehrlein. Mm-hmm. For about 8 seconds, right at the end of Q3, and then Wehrlein went and put in a faster lap.
Pascal Wehrlein is being the most impressive new driver I've seen for ages.
Yeah,
it's so under the radar because he's in a manner. What he was doing in that race,
forcing Sauber's wide,
yeah.
Proper racecraft.
He's
actual real racecraft.
But he's doing stuff with that manner that it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
you know, that manner shouldn't be where he's got it at times.
Yeah, I mean, he's got he's the reigning DTM champion, so he's used to wheel to wheel racing,
yeah.
And he's just brought that into Formula One, and it's been a shot in the arm. It's been great to watch.
Yeah.
But I must say, to give credit where it's due, as much as manner are still off the pace, it's what we've been saying all along. At least they're on the same lap now.
Yeah.
So they can do this. They can be part of it.
They're off the pace at the front of the race, but they are on the pace with the teams that they are qualifying round.
How long?
Yeah, well, they were racing with Eric. I mean, Ericsson got quite high up, I think, in the Sauber at one point. But they were racing with Ericsson and Nasser and, you know, the Toro Rossos for a while as well. They had a fair fight on their hands for a bit.
How long's Manor, in its guises, being
since
a team?
2010 it came in as Virgin Marussia, I think it was, or Virgin F1.
It was Virgin, then it was...
Virgin Marussia.
Virgin Marussia.
So we've had six seasons of Manor.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, Manor. 6 years, and you're finally Minardi.
Minardi scored points.
Yeah, does this mean we'll get to see Manor scoring points at
possibly
some point of the season?
No,
I think there's a good chance.
I think there's a great chance.
I don't think they'll score this year.
I hope there's
Monaco. Monaco if everybody crashes, but there's too many cars.
That's what I was about to say. I hope there's rain at Monaco or something and Wehrlein ends up on the podium or something. Like that.
Hang on now. I genuinely, people would have to die.
There's been bizarre results at Monaco before. Cause, I mean,
four drivers finished?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will go... I would argue this to anywhere that as bad as the Prost
Belgium
was...
Belgium 98?
The Prost was always better than the best... Manor. The worst process is better than the best manor.
You'll get there in the end.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, had a Peugeot engine.
It did have a Peugeot engine as well, didn't it? Where did Peugeot go? Jordan had Peugeot engines as well.
So did McLaren for a little while as well.
Yeah. No, it worked out well for all of them. So yeah, good solid race from Wehrlein. Plenty of action. Can't really say anything about Harianto because two corners.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the anonymous Sauber team.
They were fairly anonymous. As I said, Marcus Ericsson was close to points at one point. They sort of flirted with points and then fell ridiculously back again.
They seemed to spend all day getting overtaken by McLarens.
Yeah, isn't it? Who was it that had a great battle? Was that Ericsson had a great battle with Alonso for about half a lap?
Yeah.
And the two of them wouldn't back down.
Who
Alonso
forced him off? Oh, no, it was Wehrlein, wasn't it? We just talked about that.
Yeah.
Wehrlein pushed him off the track.
Nasser had his race compromised early, obviously, by the...
Nasser was becoming a bit of a... We were saying about how impressive he was as a newcomer last year.
Mm-hmm.
Become a bit of a crybaby this year. Lots of complaining coming from Felipe Nasr about...
Yeah, I think that might be something to do with the team he's in, though.
Might be.
Yeah,
but he's bringing in the Benjamins to that team.
Yeah, well, he is, but they're not giving him anything in return.
No, this is what I mean. Yeah, I can see why he's complaining, but he can just take his Benjamins elsewhere, and there'll be about 10 other teams that will want him, I would imagine, on the grid.
I think the problem is, and the reason he's doing more whinging than... Eriksen is the fact that
I think even Toto Wolff would turn around and be like, yeah, we'll get sponsored by Banco do Brasil if it means Felipe Nasr driving for us.
If you take Rio Haryanto off the grid, Marcus Eriksen is the substitute dickhead. he's the second least
he can be quick.
No, he can be quick, but if you he's the second best worst.
Yes, second worst.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds horrible, this, but he really does strike me as a rich boy. He's Max Chilton, essentially.
Swedish Max Chilton.
Yeah, and I just think he's not going to do anything because he's never going to do anything. So the longer he can stay in Formula One, the better for him.
He's not. You might say he's not going to do anything, but he is the only driver to drive for Caterham who's gone on to another team and stayed in Formula One after he'd driven for Caterham.
Yeah, I think that's more to do with checks than talent.
Yeah, unless you count Will Stevens and his one GP that he did.
Yeah,
That he paid.
£500,000 or dollars or something.
Yeah, it was some ridiculous amount to have his one Caterham race.
Yeah.
The only thing Caterham did was prick Tees Kovalainen into thinking he was a Formula One driver again.
That's harsh.
It was a bit. I didn't mind Kovalainen. I thought he was okay. He didn't have it for the big team, did he? When he went to McLaren,
I don't think he had it in anywhere.
It was good when he was at Renault.
It was passable.
Yeah.
Not.
There are worse drivers out there with smaller checks.
There are worse drivers.
And there's worse drivers out there with bigger checks.
Well, to be fair, he didn't even come in with a check, was he? He came in as a fully fledged, full fat Formula One driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then left.
GP2 champion, I think, wasn't he?
I think he might have been, yeah. Yeah.
Then... So was Pastor Maldonado.
Which you will never tire of reminding us. Right, what we got up next? Force India. Again, one car.
Yeah, because of that first lap incident, somehow Hülkenberg managed to just... I don't really know what happened to Hülkenberg, but was it somebody with debris or something, and he just didn't get round turn two?
Yeah, we just saw him getting out of the car, and that was about it.
Yep.
Perez, on the other hand, point scoring.
Brilliant comeback from Perez, because he had to pit after that first lap.
He had to pit because he lost a wheel completely.
Yeah.
Managed to coax the car back to the pits without any debris causing problems. The loose rubber flapping around from the tyre. And then puts in an absolute storming performance and finishes ninth.
Do you know the difference between Perez and Hülkenberg? You think there were two different cars this year.
Yeah, I like Perez. Perez is a great driver, in my opinion. But... He goes down for this weekend, definitely, possibly the season's cheekiest ever team radio question. He knew his pace was good because he was tickling the points at this point at the rate, about halfway through, and he comes up on the team radio and goes, "How's my pace? Do you like my pace?"
Yeah.
Like, yes, Checo, your pace is very good. Hey, how's my pace?
Was that? Do you think
cheeky smile, little wink?
But is that something that he's had to say to try and skirt around the rules?
He's allowed to ask how he's doing lap time wise.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It seemed like such a strange radio message. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but it was just like he knew his pace was pretty. He flew past everyone. But I know what you mean, Ali. It does seem like it's two different cars.
Yeah.
You've got the good Force India and the bad Force India.
Yeah.
The good Force India, which seemed to have followed on from last year's car, where it's up there. It's
Hülkenberg was fifth at some point in it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
So the Force India and the dark side India.
Yeah, the dark side of the Force India. Yeah. And the dark side of the Force India. I like that. We should use that one again. Yeah. Darth Hülkenberg. And
if only you knew the power of the dark side, Perez. Don't know, mate. I'd rather the extra 5/10.
Oh, Force India's team Twitter hashtag is Feel the Force.
Is it?
Yes.
It is, yeah. Yeah, Feel the Force.
Yeah, they always sign off the tweets with that.
That's a shame. I bet it would have been Kvyat now.
But yeah, again...
good performance from Perez.
Good, solid performance from Perez.
Do you want to know something? If I was Maurizio Riva-Bene and I was thinking about maybe replacing Kimi Räikkönen at the end of this year, I wouldn't mind betting that Perez would be one of the people that you'd be looking at.
I don't...
A top team. Like, he's not going to go to Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Williams, maybe. But Ferrari's a possibility, I think, for Sergio Perez.
Yeah, as I was having a chat with one of our listeners during the race about this, Gemma,
revise for your exam, Gemma, by the way.
Yeah.
Listen to this and then revise for your exams.
She's a Ricardo fan, and she was talking about how she'd like to see him go to Ferrari one day. And I think that's a very good possibility.
I think that's a good possibility. I don't think he'll stay at Red Bull forever. You'll stay there for maybe another season.
I think if you've got the opportunity to be in an Adrian Newey car at the beginning of rule shakeups, you are an idiot if you leave.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he'll be there next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to wait for the silly season to come around, really, don't we? Because there are other driver shakeups which we'll talk about in a bit when we're going up the order. But yeah, getting back to what we were talking about, Force India, Checo Perez, great performance. Hulkenberg, we can't really say.
It'd been interesting to see what he could do. Should we talk about Red Bull now?
I can tell you what we've done. About Red Bull, probably been about three places behind Perez.
Possibly.
Could have been. Red Bull. Bad day at the office.
Bad day at the office. Kvyat tried something a little bit special by putting that medium tyre on after the
first
lap.
They did it with both drivers, though, didn't they?
Danny Rick as well. Yeah, I thought he put the soft on, and I think I put on the live blog at the time that Danny Rick had gone on soft, and then I noticed a lot later in the race, and I didn't correct myself, that it was actually medium
tyres. And you wrecked yourself!
I didn't correct myself, and then I wrecked myself, and didn't correct myself, and then I wrecked myself. That's Danny Kvyat's theme tune. But yeah, medium tyre didn't work for them at all. I think
it was ridiculous.
It was a bad call, really, because they know that the medium tyre can go the full race. And
no, but no one had used a medium tyre all through the weekend.
No.
No one had ran one.
No, everybody was there with their mandatory one set, except for the manners that had to.
They were literally using Rosberg's 2014, was it, as an example. When he put it at the end of that one and went to the end of the race on that tyre. Mm. But completely different tyre compound now.
Yeah.
Same colour, name, but different compound. So they weren't... They knew it would probably go the full race, but the thinking behind it failed because... It took so long to get warm, and when they got the tyres up to temperature, he was called in for his 10-second stop go. And then he lost all his tyre temperature again. It took him a few laps. And Kvyat at his home Grand Prix ruined his chances. And where did he end up? 17th, 18th?
It was a real race, wasn't it?
15th.
15th. It was a poor race for a Red Bull.
But the thing is, Kvyat ended up using two sets of mediums. Because when he made his second stop, he put a used set on.
Did he? I thought they only brought one set of mediums.
No, they had two. And
why didn't they bung a set of softs on?
No idea.
Maybe they didn't have any left, but no. Kvyat's second stop was for a set of used mediums.
Oh, right.
So, strategy, not Red Bull's strong point this weekend.
No.
Racing, not Red Bull's strong point this weekend.
Danny Rick did as much as he could with what he had, but what he had was a car on mediums. And again, he kind of struggled, didn't he, really? When did Danny Rick end up finishing?
He finished 11th because of Sainz's penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just outside of the points. Again, the strategy didn't work. Mediums and then second stop for a set of softs.
Yeah, that's...
I think strategy-wise, Red Bull just got it wrong.
They did get that horrifically wrong. Driver-wise, they kind of got it wrong. The only person who really has come out of this looking good is Daniel Ricciardo. He's done the best that he could with what he got, and what he got was shit.
Yeah. Yeah, best way to describe it.
I think you're going to see a good year from Ricciardo this year, though, because he does seem to be of that mould of Formula One driver, like a Vettel or a Button or an... who else was I thinking of?
Like an Alonso or something like that?
No, not so much. I mean, like someone that needs... They need a good car under them. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's the sort of driver that can hustle himself to be somewhere. I think that was what the problem was last year. But even if... Because the problem with that car at the moment is the engine's a bit off. The chassis is great, so he's obviously... You know, he's obviously having a good time driving the car.
Yeah. We were talking about the speed traps before, about Harry Anto being right at the top of the speed trap. The Red Bulls were way down the order going through the speed trap. So it's like they don't have the speed, but they've got the performance. They've got the downforce.
Well, that's the thing, but I mean, that's always going to happen.
They'll be great in Hungary.
I was actually going to say this on the podcast at
Monaco probably as well.
Yeah, but I think Ricciardo will win the Hungarian Grand Prix.
You heard it here first.
Yep. Get your tennis on it.
Bet responsibly.
Yeah.
While we're...
Don't bet on Hamilton when you see good odds. That's not responsible. That loses you a tenner. Carry on.
Well, while we're on the subject of what comes out of Austria, then Toro Rosso. Verstappen didn't get to the end.
No, he had a lawnmower failure.
Yeah.
We said lawnmower because when he was on his way out for his practice start, at the end of the pit lane, his car sounded like a lawnmower.
It sounded terrible.
So they sent him out with a dicky engine and then it decided to pack itself in. Weird about that. Just over halfway through the race, wasn't it?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't see any Mad Max, we didn't see any particularly stunning. The best thing he did was avoided Vettel's car. I don't know how he managed to do that. And again, I'd love to see the onboard from his car. But it was quite a quiet race for Max Verstappen. And Sainz, we saw him getting pushed out of the way a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ended up with a 10-second penalty for going off track, turn two.
Yeah.
Was hanging on to 10th place on the track. Passed by Button, finished outside of the points. Finished 12th with the penalty, and again, just it. There were a little bit neither here nor there. I think is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. It wasn't a good weekend for Toro Rosso. Speaking about his penalty, though, like the pun intended, the stewards ruled the Russian Grand Prix with an iron fist.
Anybody who made any sort of error, it was punished.
And it's good, it's what it should be.
Yeah, although the graphics weren't keeping up to date with it because nobody knew why Kvyat was coming in when he did his 10-second stop go because they hadn't even announced it.
Yeah, so miscommunication there between FOM and the actual race stewards' office.
I mean, Sky's commentators actually thought it was coming in to retire the car.
Quick shout out, that circuit, the... that's the best camera work I've seen for a while on Formula One.
The helicopter work was fantastic.
Yeah.
But everything, even like the on-track cameras and stuff like that, it was superb. It was so good.
No, it was it was a good race to watch aesthetically.
Yeah.
I'm using big words. I'll try and stop now. Move up to, we can say a point scoring team for the first time this season, Renault.
Yeah,
you know, K-Mag, brilliant, but very under the radar. So was 7th place for K-Mag?
Yeah. I mean, at one point, the two Renaults were running 11th and 12th.
No.
And you just thought, they're gonna miss out on the points again, but they're getting better and they're getting further up the field. And then K-Mag just puts an absolute stormer in, gets himself up to 7th.
Yeah.
Held off a train of four cars that were behind him.
Yeah.
And, it's that is... I mean, you were joking about a new feature on the podcast for this season, now that Maldonado's not around. Is Kevin Magnussen actually any good?
Of course he is.
On that performance, yes.
Yeah. There's been a couple of performances this year. I mean, Australia, when he came, he was almost a lap down, wasn't he, in Australia? Mm-hmm. And he came back to finish just behind his teammate, Julian Palmer. He finished like 12th or something just behind him. So he can race. He... understands Renault. He comes from Renault. His background is a Formula Renault 3.5 Euros and then the Worlds, so he's probably well integrated into that motorsport sort of family anyway. McLaren might have made a mistake by letting him go.
Yeah.
But they did, and he's found his feet with Renault, and he's doing well.
I'd argue about that, because I think he needed to be let go to come back. I think he might be one of them.
Like Perez.
Like Grosjean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Perez did bad at McLaren. He was quite quickly, basically just sort of shuffled as, you are Button's number two.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't like that.
No, but we've seen it so many times with drivers like that are picked up by big teams too fast.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get me wrong, some drivers, i.e. like a Vettel or a Hamilton, thrive when that happens.
Yeah.
But some drivers just aren't ready for it.
No.
To be fair, I think that's the difference between world champions as well. Because I think Magnussen's going to be a great Formula One driver. I don't ever think he's going to be a world champion.
Oh, he believes he will be, but
yeah, no. But yeah, I think there's too many other people around him.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah,
but,
yeah. Moving across to the other side of their garage. I mean, Palmer, he's getting better.
You reckon? Yeah. I think that was terrible this weekend.
Yeah, he had a bit of a tough race. I think. Yeah,
tough race, bad qualifying. Mm. And I don't think he'll make the end of the season. I think there's too many new drivers hovering around Renault at the minute, you know, with them throwing different cars in on practice.
Well, yeah, because it was Sorokin this week.
Went quicker than Palmer in testing.
They announced literally just after the race that Esteban Ocon will drive an FP1 in Barcelona.
Right.
And he's very highly rated, Ocon, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's...
He's a Mercedes driver, isn't he?
He's going to say he's on loan from Mercedes.
Yeah.
The actual tweet that he put out was... It's not an announcement, but I will be... Yeah, not an announcement, but very happy to say I'll be driving at the Spanish Grand Prix in FP1. So he announced that he wasn't making an announcement about
doing driving. Something.
He might as well have ended it with, shh.
Yeah.
This is not the 9 o'clock news.
That's already been used.
Though. It has,
and it's 9:45 when we're recording this.
Correct.
Going a little bit further, well, actually down the order, but Haas. Grosjean in the points again.
A great a response, I think I want to call it, from Romain Grosjean after people, Haas have had to, you know, I think we sort of said about it as well, Haas can crash him back down to earth with, you know, the
Yeah, I thought it was awful unfair the way people were talking about that, you know. I think...
I think I said something along a very similar line. But also... Gutierrez on the other side of the garage.
He's not having the best of times. Another driver that used two sets of mediums.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah.
He went away to come back to be sent away again.
Yeah, he's not a K-Mag to come back to be better, is he? He's a go to Ferrari, learn how they race, and then join another team and you still haven't learned anything.
Yeah.
Still think they should have taken Vern.
I still think they should have taken Vern.
Yeah, they should have taken Vern. The funny thing is, though, like the...
Wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Jean-Éric Vern does end up in that car at some point this year.
But, like, reserve driver lineups and, like, anyone that's sort of tried to come through that team, through Ferrari, I should say, like, whoever's in charge of their, like... I don't think they've got a driver development programme as such, but it's fucking shit.
Yeah.
You know, for a team like Ferrari with that pedigree behind it.
Yeah. They should have potential world champions in waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing FP1 on a Friday morning.
Yeah. And it's look at when Massa had his accident.
Mm.
You know, and what was it? They brought
Luca Badoa.
Did Mika Salo have a go? That was Schumacher, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Schumacher broke his legs. And it's almost like they...
Well, they got Fizzy in after Badoa did one race.
Yeah.
And was absolutely terrible. Fizzy had that fantastic Belgian Grand Prix with Force India's first points and podium.
Yeah.
Then Ferrari came knocking.
Mm-hmm.
Fizzy...
You're an Italian driver and Ferrari knock on the door at any point, you're going to say yes, aren't
you? Yeah, but you're going to say see.
To be fair, though, that was more... regardless of just driving Ferrari, which is obviously going to be the draw of it, that was the best business decision for Fisichella, because now he gets paid to wear a Ferrari outfit and he doesn't fucking do anything. He just hangs around the garage a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I don't understand it. It's like they've... every team has a reserve driver in place to a point that has either got some experience or has been in a car. Or, you know, that, you know, if something happens, they can step up and do it. Ferrari don't have that.
No, well, this is the thing. I think, just thinking on as well, like, if somebody said to me, you've got a Formula One team for Spain, here's your engine manufacturer, here's your chassis, choose two drivers for your brand new team that's going to Spain. I would definitely put Jean-Éric Vergne in one of those seats. But I don't understand why nobody on the grid has got him in. And the only place I could see him going, if he does come back in, it would be in Haas, replacing Esteban Gutierrez.
The problem was, Jean-Éric Vergne wasn't particularly good when he was in Formula One.
No, he was.
He wasn't. He had a couple of good. You know, he had a couple of good races, but he was like.
Because the argument with
Alguersuari did better than him when they were teammates.
Well, the thing is, with him and Kvyat, when they were teammates at Toro Rosso, and it was who do they choose between the two of them to go to Red Bull when Vettel left?
Mm-hmm.
And it was instantly announced that Kvyat was stepping up, and it was like, well, what of Jean-Éric Vergne? That was pure bad luck. The team let Jean-Éric Vergne down.
Oh, yeah, no, but what I'm saying is...
When both carts finished on a par, Vergne outraced Kvyat the whole time.
I don't think he did enough to look good. He did his best move when he went to Formula E. His first race, he thought, oh, fucking hell, maybe he is really good. But
the other lawnmower racing.
Yeah, yeah, the professional lawnmower racing.
Yeah, the silent lawnmowers.
Yeah. So I don't think Jean-Éric Vergne did enough in Formula One to warrant still being in Formula One.
Say the same for Esteban Gutierrez.
Oh no, I don't think Gutierrez should be there. And if you remember when we first started doing this podcast and he did his first season. I think one of the points I brought up when we were talking about things was in his first interview before he got into Formula One, they turned around and said, oh, are you ready to be a Formula One driver? His response was, I don't know yet. And if you don't think you're ready for Formula One, you're not ready.
Yeah, this is the thing, yeah.
Anything that isn't a yes is a no.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he is going to be a thorn in Haas's side. A thorn in the Haas. A pain in the Haas.
But it's a shame because I don't think they picked him anyway. Ferrari gave him to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an engine, a wind tunnel, and Esteban Gutierrez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They come as a set.
So it'd be interesting to know how long they have to have him for.
Yeah, and does he have a performance clause in there?
Yeah.
And could they drop him? That is going to be one of follow the rest of the season. He just has to book his ideas up.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we trying to get as many Haas puns in as we can? We're about done with them now.
It's a beautiful thing. I don't know yet.
I think we're done.
I think we're done for now. But there's other stuff coming up later. We might be able to shoehorn one in there. Right, we're going to watch Lee go all dribbly now. McLaren, double points.
Double points for McLaren.
It was grand, and I was really happy, but because of how on it Button had been, you know, through practice and in qualifying and stuff like that, it was such a shame he got tied up in all the fucking carnage at the beginning.
If you're a new listener to the podcast, Lee is our resident Jenson Button fan.
Yes. Fanboy.
Fanboy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's good to see him with points in it.
I like McLaren, I'm not going to lie. I like, for purely nostalgic reasons, I started watching Formula 1 like 25 years ago. McLaren were a successful team. I like Williams. Williams were a successful team back in the day as well. I like to see those teams doing well, but to see McLaren after the season they had last year and sort of the slowish kind of start they've had so far, for Alonso to finish sixth and put in a lap that he did a lap towards the end of the race where he turned up the Honda engine to full and was pretty much on pace with Mercedes, a couple of tenths off the Mercedes pace.
Yeah, I mean,
and came on the radio and said, sorry guys, just wanted to have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks as though the McLaren has got the pace, but the problem is it's atrocious on fuel.
Yeah, and we still don't know how brittle it is. you know,
because it's not been pushed.
Yeah, it might not even be a fuel thing. Where they
they've said it is the most fuel hungry engine.
Oh yeah, I know there's a fuel problem, but we still don't know really if they can turn it up. You know, even if they decide it was a quicker way to go through the race by turning it all the way up for half the race and then turn it right down for the second half.
Yeah, but the fact that Russia is one of the most fuel hungry races as well.
Yeah,
longest race, I think.
Longest time on the throttle pedal, I think. But the so far anyway.
Yeah.
But the it's good to see that you can get Alonso up into sixth place.
Yeah.
And maintain it. He wasn't like he was pushed by anyone behind him.
Both McLarens overtook people.
Yeah, both McLarens overtook people. Yeah. And Button should maybe unlucky for Button, but he should maybe have been a little bit higher up. But with 10th place.
Yeah, and it was 10th on track, because it was behind Sainz for ages.
Yeah.
And I thought it's going to be kind of a hollow point scoring victory.
But
you know, finished 11th on track, but then got a point because of a penalty. But then two or three laps to go. Passes Perez, takes 10th on the track.
Yeah,
actually earns the points.
Yeah,
through what he did rather than from what somebody else did. If Honda can get this fuel efficiency problem sorted, because they're losing 1.2 seconds a lap.
Yeah,
and that is a hell of a lot.
It's not going to happen this year.
Oh, they won't win a race, I don't think, this year.
No, I don't. I don't think they'll fix the fuel issue, because they've. Like Button's already said in interviews that Honda have acknowledged that the whole design of the engine needs thrown away and started again for next year.
Yeah.
So that says to me that if they...
Well, they'd have to start it again next year anyway with 2017 regulations coming in. So.
But if Button said that now, that means they've already started.
Yeah.
Which means they're not going to continue to develop this engine.
I think they've still got some tokens left. I think they're going to make, no pun intended, all right, every pun intended, a token effort.
Yeah. It'll be things that whatever's transferable, if they can test stuff that's transferable into next year's engine, they'll do that. But I don't think there's going to be any fucking massive leaps and bounds.
Well, I think a podium isn't out of the question for later in the season, but we'll see.
There'd have to be shenanigans, though, wouldn't there?
Then if you look, though, the two tracks that suited them last year was Monaco and Hungary again.
Yeah.
Which they are better than they were last year because they've got points earlier. Mm-hmm. The further up the grid than they were last year. Okay, we haven't seen a McLaren in Q3 this season yet.
They've not been blowing up as regularly.
No, it's getting closer. The cars are more reliable.
Yeah.
Don't write them off from getting a podium in one of those two races. Because
I think the steps are going to be massive now. I think they've made a big step forward.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's going to be any other big steps forward for the year.
But otherwise, great performance in the race.
Especially
from Fernando.
And Fernando's sixth now means that he is the McLaren driver that scored the most points, and it isn't Stoffel anymore.
Yeah,
he's joint second.
Crazy.
Williams next. Or as we call them, how to lose a race.
Yeah, you've got a car on the front row of the grid. You should be able to capitalise on that. Maybe not... win the race, but you know, get as high up as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we just saw the... We were discussing in the race yesterday, Massa just vanished.
Yeah.
Massa
just
disappeared into a hole between the front runners and the rest of the crowd and poodled around on his own. He had a free pit stop towards the end of the race. That's how far ahead or behind he was than anyone else.
Yeah, Pirelli actually tweeted, do you want to know why Massa made the stop? Because he can. And he still came out 16 seconds clear of Alonso.
Yeah.
He was the last car not to be lapped. Although it wasn't far off, it was 1 minute 14 down. We tweeted before the race, not a bold prediction. Williams have a car on the front row. They will not win.
Yeah,
they will screw something up somehow.
Yeah. Let's play how can fucking Williams fuck up this week.
They did try to undercut Mercedes,
but
it worked for all of about a lap.
But that's the thing, we know the undercut doesn't work in that circuit.
Yeah.
You know, that's grand. Try the undercut somewhere fucking else.
Yeah.
Try it on a circuit without a 30-plus second pit time.
I don't get it. I don't think Massa will be in that team next year. I don't think he should be in it this year.
It's more or less nailed on that Alex Lynn is going to have one of those seats next season.
Yeah, I think next year you'll have Button and Lynn in the team.
Every single season, there's always is Jensen going back to Williams?
Yeah,
but it's already started this year.
Yeah, and it's
usually about August when it starts. Yeah, but so it's nice and early this time.
It's not him talking about it.
And this year it is.
And it was that he was talking about it this weekend with Simon Lazenby.
Yeah.
So
it could end up happening then.
Mm. Just quickly, as I said, not just being a fucking massive Button fan, but I said to you,
that you
before,
are.
Yeah, all those races for the last 2 years that Williams could have won when Mercedes like fucked it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Button would have won. What, at least one of those races?
You think he'd argued with the radio
Spa,
calls?
Spa, for instance. You Spa, know when Ricardo won? Hungary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'd, because he's good round Spa anyway, he'd have been the driver to capitalise there.
Yeah, and he would have been like, Jensen coming to the pits, no, tyres feel good, I'm staying there as long as we
can.
Stop
being an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course the thing is with the new radio regulations and forcing the drivers to actually think for themselves, we know that Jensen is one of the best at doing that. Yeah.
Do you think it's because Williams don't believe in their drivers?
Possibly.
Do you think
Massa has just become what Massa has always been, and the quintessential number two.
Yeah.
Problem they've got is Bottas isn't good enough to be their number one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They've got two number two drivers.
Mm. And the problem with Bottas is I think he could be a good Formula One driver, but he needs pushed.
Yeah, and Massa's not the man to push him.
No. I don't understand, because it's like qualifying from Bottas, fucking ace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did so well in qualifying, and then just fucking nothing.
Bottas has lost it since the British Grand Prix last year.
Yes, he has. Yeah,
yeah. That I think you can call the turning point.
Yeah,
where he went from he basically gave Kimi a seat in this year's Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
After that,
that was his seat. That Ferrari seat up until that point.
Yeah, he choked.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's fully recovered yet. Moving on to Ferrari, again another race of two halves. We had the sweary half, and then we also had Kimi. Now, it's usually Kimi that's the sweary half.
Kimi was brilliant, though. Not pulling any punches in post-race. What happened, Kimi? We're not fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why were you third? Because we're not fast enough.
I've got a new nickname for Kimi. The human shrug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the human shrug. How was that, Kimi? Shrug.
Eddie Irvine nearly got a sack for that, didn't he? In a press conference.
Saying that Ferrari weren't quick enough.
Well, the words were, because I think he was second, I think, or third, behind the McLarens.
Yeah.
And he was asked, oh, what went wrong? He said, oh, well, the Ferrari's brick slow and we can't beat them. The Ferrari were not happy.
Well, what would they prefer? Driver who lies?
Yes. That's exactly what they prefer.
Well, then Kimi Raikkonen's not the right man to have in the car, because Kimi Raikkonen does tell her how it is.
They would prefer a driver that lies, cheats and steals. Why do you think Schumacher went down so well there?
Oh, Eddie Guerrero's not available, is he?
It's my job to do the wrestling puns.
Yeah. Now, Michael Schumacher went down extremely well, Ferrari, and we know why. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Vettel, we've talked about the incident. Quality bleep machine work. Fantasy time, where do we think Vettel would have finished?
Second.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah.
But then again, without that, we wouldn't have had Hamilton gaining five places in two corners.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
He would have struggled. And yeah, it could have easily been a Ferrari 2-3.
And either way, it didn't matter what went on with Hamilton, because by the looks of it, Hamilton would have always had that problem.
Yeah.
So even if Hamilton could have got up into second ahead of Vettel.
Vettel would have probably pushed him again.
Yeah. He'd have got ahead of him. So. Yeah,
I think Vettel would have been in second if he'd managed to stay on.
Yeah, if Hamilton had have had Vettel behind him, Hamilton would have had to push the car further. That water pressure problem would have gone terminal. He'd have probably ended up with nothing.
Or he'd have had to back off to the point where Vettel overtook him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that really does leave Mercedes.
Brace of Well, you got a race of two hours. You got Lewis Hamilton coming back from 10th, as we've just explained, coming mm-hmm. through five places in two corners.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a virtual safety car, followed by the real safety car.
And talking about things that are going on, this has actually just come up on the news now. It's completely not Formula One related, but congratulations, Leicester City, Premier League champions.
Really?
Yes, Chelsea drew.
Congratulations.
Leicester City, 5,000-1 outsiders.
No idea what's going on now.
That's like Manor winning in Spa.
Yeah. Right. It's like Pascal Wehrlein lapping the entire field.
Well, that's grand.
It is.
I just thought I'd put that one in because it's something that usually happens outside of F1. But anyway, yeah, we didn't really see a lot of Nico because he just went off, did his own thing.
It's how his season's been, isn't it? It's the guy hasn't answered a question because nobody's asked him one yet.
Well, yeah, he gets a good start. He gets off the line. Carnage unfolds behind him.
Yeah.
By the time all that's sorted out, we've either got a safety car and everyone's lousy at restarting, or we don't have a safety car and everyone's 30 seconds behind because they've had to pick their way through a minefield.
Yeah. So shenanigans, pyro and belly who occur, mm. and yeah. then he wins a race.
Yeah. Lapped everyone up to sixth place.
Yeah, his only troubles really were going through the traffic. But I was saying to you yesterday, Paul, I wonder what it did to his head when his pit board was out, because they're using pit boards a lot more now without the radios. Wonder what it did to his head when he saw his pit board that said, "You are 9 seconds ahead of P2 Hamilton."
Yeah.
And then it came up again, "You are 8 seconds ahead of P2 Hamilton."
Yeah.
"You are 7 seconds ahead of P2 Hamilton."
I don't think it would.
And
have.
Then all of a sudden, Hamilton's like, "Oh, you've got a water problem, mate. You're going to have to back off a little bit." Yeah, he did go through a bit of traffic, which backed him up a little bit again. Yeah. But then he had to ease off with the water problem.
Is this the water pressure problem that was the same as Ferrari number two driver's brake problems?
Well,
cutting the seal by accident. Oh no, I cut the seal.
Done some prep, haven't I?
Yeah. This is unusually organised for any of us.
It is. So this is an excerpt taken from a Lewis Hamilton interview, yeah?
Right.
Read in as you will. Like, the question was, can you believe the luck you're having? There's certainly plenty of people around here saying it's more than bad luck. I'm not really sure I believe in good or bad luck. There's reasons for everything. And I don't know what those reasons are. I'm doing a job as strong as I can. I have less engines now. I have less engines now for the rest of the season. Do I think there'll be more problems? Do I think this is the end of my problems? No. Is there going to be more problems ahead? Probably. But the team, it's the team's job to rectify that for me.
This is the team that swapped a load of mechanics round from Lewis's side to Nico's side and vice versa.
For me, the reason I ended up writing this down is because when the question was asked, there's certainly plenty of people around here that think it's more than bad luck. And Lewis started the sentence by saying, "I'm really not sure I believe." I expected him to say, "in conspiracy theories." Whereas what he said was, "I'm really not sure I believe in good or bad luck. There's a reason for everything, and I don't know what it is."
I mean, yeah, he has had bad luck, or he's had things not going his way.
Yeah. Four races this season.
Two MGUHs in two races.
See, for me,
and
though...
First corner contacts in the other two races, which weren't anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that. It's the fact that I think Mercedes lied about Rosberg having a problem.
When Toto Wolff was interviewed after the race, he said, "Well, yeah, Lewis had a problem, but also we had a problem with Nico's car too."
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe it for a second. And I also think
you're calling shenanigans.
Yeah, and when David Croft pulled Toto about it, didn't he, at the beginning of the race?
Yeah,
yeah, and Toto Wolff's answer was so overly aggressive. So
overly defensive for somebody
not even just defensive. I think it was genuinely aggressive. You know, it's calling, right, regardless of what you think's going on, calling your fans lunatics is not on.
You do that every week.
I called them idiots.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, do you know what I mean? It's not on that.
Yeah, is there something going on in Mercedes against Lewis?
Don't know. No idea.
I mean, Lee, you have been a fan of conspiracy theories for as long as I've known you have an internet connection.
Twin Towers was an inside job. No one died at Sandy Hook. Carry on.
This podcast is brought to you by Baco Foil.
Other brands of tinfoil are available.
The Hat of Champions. You know, are Mercedes gifting Nico a world championship in completely the wrong way?
No.
Are Mercedes gifting Nico a world championship?
No, I think what they're doing is trying different things internally within the team by switching mechanics around. They want to know who is their A team, if you will. And by switching certain individuals around, I think they're starting to pick out the weak links.
Right, grand. That's brilliant if you just look at this as an isolated case in this year. If that's the case, why last year, towards the end of the season, when Nico started getting on his run, were they giving Lewis race strategies to keep him away from Nico?
I don't think they want any on-track incidents.
Because I think they were ready to kill each other at that
point. That's grand. But what I'm saying is, this run of wins that Nico's had this year and this start he's had for his championship, this began with Mercedes last year.
Do you want to know what else I think is happening as well? And this is not...
Mercedes realised they can make a world champion. They've had two years of Lewis Hamilton, so they've got all the bonus they needed for him in the American market, and now they want a German world champion.
There is that, and also what I think they're doing is giving Nico a head start. I don't think they're giving him the world championship. I think they're almost being to the point where it's just like, well, if Nico gets a certain amount of points ahead, and then we do all we can for Lewis, or for both sides of the garage. I wonder if Lewis can catch up. If we know he can catch up when he's 29 points behind, because he did that a couple of years ago. But let's see if he can catch up when he's more than 50 points behind. At the moment, he's 43 points back.
I don't think there'd be that much gamesmanship in it.
That to me, would it's suggest almost... a team that's shooting itself in the foot. That was the sound of somebody shooting themselves in the foot. I don't think they'd do that, because that's the kind of strategy that could backfire horribly.
Well, Raikkonen's not that far behind Hamilton in the points. Raikkonen's third in the Drivers' Championship. But yeah. I think he's only 6 points behind Lewis.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think we've seen how far ahead Mercedes are this year. I think Mercedes are as strong as last year.
Just think they've turned it down a little.
Yeah. Look at the lap Nico put in at the end of the race.
Yeah. What lap record?
Yeah. And I don't believe all this talk about Ferrari being close to them. I think Ferrari are surprised how far they are behind. At the moment, I can't see any other way apart from something happened to both Mercedes for Ferrari to win a race. And I didn't think that'd be the case this year.
I think Mercedes are terrified of an on-track collision. And I don't
know why, but
I think they are.
I think the other thing you've got to think is the fact that
because
right, look at Ferrari's Formula One world championship run, yeah, when they were essentially the only fucking Formula One car on the grid and everyone else was Formula One 1.5. that run of wins, and even Sebastian Vettel's isn't looked on the same as other. As other championships, because there was no one around to fight with.
Yeah.
And I think that if Mercedes are playing Ferrari up because it gives the illusion of competition.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
That is a good point.
I want to see Mercedes fully turned up, because eventually somebody in that team will tell Lewis Hamilton how to get the best out of that car.
I genuinely think this has been decided in a boardroom.
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong, I think Lewis will win races this year and all this will be sorted out, but I genuinely think that by the time that happens,
Nico will be too far gone.
Yeah. And then even if Ferrari is sniffing around or something like that, it might be a case of, oh, Nico, you need to let Lewis through because we want 1-2 in the championship. But I do, I think this is going to carry on until Nico is essentially world champion, all but in, you know, all but with the trophy in his hands.
Yeah. That's definitely food for thought. Mm. Going back to angry Lewis, he's fuming at the stewards.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is a bit silly.
Yeah.
Second reprimand of the season for this one for cutting a corner after the first one was for reversing 50 centimetres.
Yeah.
That one was harsh as well. Yeah. He wasn't told where to park.
Yeah. So one more and he gets a 10-place grid penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why he's pissed off about it.
See, the thing I'll say about Lewis as well is that I'm not a massive Lewis Hamilton fan, but I'll give him his due is I think he's one of the fairer Formula One drivers. You know, it's not very often that you see him called into the steward's office.
Yeah.
You know, it's
not since 2009.
No. But not since everything went a bit haywire. But yeah, I think it's weird. I do.
Yeah, I mean he's known at the minute for having a chip on his shoulder, and is he gonna claim that everyone's out to get him again?
Maybe all my points before were right in a slightly different way. And maybe, you know, I was saying about Mercedes wanting to give the illusion of competition.
Mm.
Maybe they think it looks better for Formula One if another Mercedes driver wins the world championship.
Maybe.
Yeah. The dominant, but we've got two dominant drivers.
Yeah.
Because obviously in the Ferrari and Red Bull eras, it was just
Driver one, driver two.
Yeah.
Even though, what was it, the claim that Barrichello was driver 1A.
No, he was driver A, wasn't he?
No,
it was
driver one. Driver one and driver 1A.
Right, okay.
Still got told to slow down and let Schumacher pass.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Anybody remember the Austrian incident?
Worst finish to a race of all time.
You're trying to say that Schumacher and Barrichello were the same flat, but they shared the same door, but they were different flats.
Yes. Pretty much. What else have we got this week? Jensen has come out and said that turn two at Sochi needs a rethink. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A gravel trap on the outside to stop anybody from doing that. We saw a lot of
firewall.
We saw a lot of drivers. All the graphic come up for drivers saying that they were disregarded the instructions for the race director's instructions for turn two.
Drive through the penalty box.
Yeah. The instruction was they had to make a left turn after coming out of turn two, to essentially go around that kink before the longer turn three. So many drivers didn't turn left, ended up running wide at turn two and just straightened up ready for turn three.
Yeah.
There was no left turning. That's what the thing was. Like we said before about being ruled, that the stewards ruling Russia with an iron fist.
Yeah.
They really did.
Mm.
And they came down on some drivers quite harshly. But my quick fix for that would be something on the outside of the circuit the drivers don't want to run over. Therefore, they're not going to. So if it's tarmac and they think, well, I can go a bit wide on this corner, then they will. But if, like Lee says, you've got a concrete wall in the way, they're not going to do it then, are they? If they've got concrete wall safety issues. So gravel trap.
Yeah. Mm. It's a bit late, this, but they certainly didn't have any harsh measures.
I'm just moving away from that story now. We'll just turn around and leave it behind us. Bernie.
What next?
There's always a Bernie item.
I thought it was great that Bernie Eccleston didn't go and play his usual Sunday bowls, which he was dressed for.
Although he did present Niki Lauda with a sheep on a lawnmower on Saturday.
Right.
It's probably some sort of crazy, elitist Masonic symbol for some.
It's a long-standing joke going back to about 1974 when Niki Lauda fell off a ride-on lawnmower and broke his shoulder.
Okay.
So Bernie's been winding him up with lawnmower toys for the last 42 years.
Right.
He is the mad old uncle that always gives you the same present every Christmas.
Mm.
When you're six, a fiver's a lot of money. When you're 35, you didn't need to bother.
Yeah.
But no, this week's addition to the...
The difference is Bernie gives his fiver in gold bullion.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then tells you to invest it back in his awesome company.
How awesome.
And then charges you the freight for it.
Yeah. Well, he now claims that the 2017 engine-related rules could be torn up.
So finally, Formula One agrees on something.
Yeah, we've got all the regs for next season in place. The wider cars, the new wings, the wider tyres.
Although Toto Wolff is trying to put a stop to this, isn't he?
Yeah.
Trying to.
Now, Bernie said the rules ratified only 4 days ago, last Friday.
Yes.
May be torn up should they not work as hoped in producing better racing. It's all to do with the convergence in engine power, because he wants effectively four identical performing engines split between the 22 cars. You're not going to get it.
You're not. This goes back to what I was talking to you about yesterday, Paul, about somebody who was watching Formula One up until 20 years ago. And stopped watching it when it became, in his words, processional.
Mm.
If you want them to race, why don't you put them all in the same car?
Yeah.
Ford Escort Mark IIs is actually what he said. And with all the technology that's going on in Formula One, why isn't there the technology to impede other cars, like spikes that come out of the wheel hubs?
Yeah. This is the wit and wisdom of Phil Reynolds.
Yeah. If you want the show, have a show. If you want them to race, put them all in the same car. Is the view of a man who used to watch it and now doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to the era that finished in the 70s when everyone had the same engine because they were all running cars with DFVs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were still massive differences between the teams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course there were, yeah.
Because all the cars didn't look identical.
And tunings were different as well for the engine. I mean, the Cosworth DFV came into that Lotus car in 67, 68, and it ran in Formula 1 until 1984.
Yeah. So, yeah. I suppose the only way to fix this would be... because you'd still get... Everything Formula 1's copied, essentially, yeah? Because whenever like innovations in aero and stuff happen, it's everything's photographed and fucking seen in it, then it's wrapped up on all the other cars.
Mm. Or if it's Ferrari, it's just photocopied. Yeah.
So the problem with engines is, with them being sealed units, you can't really fucking have that.
Yeah.
You know? So the only answer for this would be that it would be like applying for a copyright sort of thing.
Mm.
So at the beginning of the year...
Look, it'd be a patent, surely. Yeah, yeah. It's a physical thing. You'd be patenting it.
So when you submit your car for testing for legalisation, you have to include the blueprints of that engine.
Mm.
And then all the team's engine blueprints
are available.
Oh yeah, but only in a pool of the teams, because obviously they don't want to go into other manufacturers like BMW and stuff like that. It would be just inside. Oh yeah,
This is what I said the whole time. Yeah. Do you remember when I wrote that article on the website for like the rival formula?
Yeah.
Full disclosure of everything that you've built for your car available for anyone to view in Formula One is the only way that Formula One is really going, in my opinion, my very humble opinion, it's the only way that Formula One is going to progress technologically and remain as the pinnacle of motorsport is if everybody knows what everybody else is doing and it's not so much of a secret.
Just as an aside, Bernie actually has no power to rewrite the regulations.
Well, he's head of Formula One management, isn't he? Which is the...
Yeah, but the change has got to be agreed by the FIA, FOM, the Strategy Group, the F1 Commission, and the World Motorsports Council.
Right.
So basically, he's it's this week's blast of burning hot air.
Yeah, to be fair, Bernie, though, we do notice though, whenever Bernie Eccleston says something, the guy has got more clout than a brothel. You know?
Yes, no, he does. He generally speaking, if Bernie says something, somehow it happens. Yeah, I don't remember any commercial manager for any other places getting that far ahead of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that he's come out and said this week is he doesn't like any form of cockpit protection. It should be open cockpits. What do we think to the Red Bull screen?
It's better than the Halo. See, the thing is, I've got to say, in the defence of the cockpit, is it looks very strange on the car, but when the cars are bigger next year, I think it'll fit on the car better and look possibly more like a screen than something that's been essentially stuck on.
Bolted on, yeah.
I mean, I'll raise Martin Brundle's point from Sky yesterday. Make it very interesting if you get a rainy night in Singapore. Mm-hmm. How do you clear your screen?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that'll be a problem personally, because just looking at the the advancements in glass and stuff like that, I think
a nano coating technology,
pushes water away from it. Probably, yeah. I think there'll be enough. There'll be enough technology involved in it.
Would they put tear offs on that the mechanic takes off at a pit stop?
I think you'd have to.
If they're wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, the deadline for which cockpit safety device is the 1st of July to give teams time to get it into next year's designs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Lee, it's like you said before we started recording, there now has to be something and there will be something.
Yeah.
Because if there's another incident where a driver dies because of no cockpit protection...
The sport will be ruined.
Yeah, because you had the opportunity to bring this in, you didn't.
Yeah.
So, like it or not, Mr. Eccleston, it is going to happen.
And the thing is, though, if you wouldn't want this to happen, but if they go with closed cockpits, if they go with the canopy, because this is the thing people are saying about it's an open cockpit formula. The cockpit's still going to be open. You know, it's still open cockpit. It's just it's just not as open. I mean, cars in the 80s used to have screens.
Yeah.
You know, so, the only difference is this screen's fucking doing something.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, some drivers are actually still racing with a little flap windscreen.
Yeah, that
Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was part of the regulations in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Was it, you've got to have some form of screen.
Yeah.
And then you'd look at, like, Mantell's Williams, and it'd have, like, a half-inch...
The screen was actually smaller than one of his eyebrows.
Yeah, I genuinely, because this is the thing, people turn around and say, oh, well, Formula One should be dangerous, and it needs to be dangerous, and there needs to be adrenaline and stuff like that. Those people are fucking morons, because the danger of dying in a car crash isn't something hitting you in the head. That's not the big problem with Formula One cars. Problem with Formula One cars is your fucking organs moving.
Mm.
You know, if you crash fast, your organs carry on when you stop. So the danger's still there.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
the counter argument of that is that the halo, the shield, the screen, whatever you want to call it, when it comes into effect, this new head protection thing will be used as an aerodynamic tool.
Yeah, this is
what... will use it as an aerodynamic tool, and the cars, even though they're going to be already faster in 2017...
Yeah, will be even faster.
...will be considerably faster again. But
this is the only thing that's going to stop the screen. Because I personally think the screen is a much better solution than the...
Halo. The only thing that gets me near that is wet weather conditions...
Yeah, but the thing is, it's
or anything
just...
anything getting stuck to... I mean, if anything gets stuck to a driver's visor now, they just...
Tear off.
Or they do a tear off. Something gets stuck to a driver's screen...
No, I'm not allowed to. But the... I know exactly what you mean, but, you know, it's such a small thing, that, because there's so many other formulas that or forms of motorsport where the cars have got windscreens.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that, yeah.
But the
you go back to the 50s and the cars practically had doors.
Yeah. Well, think back in the like the 90s and stuff like that, when you used to get like quite a lot of oil leaks and stuff, you know, on cars.
Mm.
And I think there's quite a famous one, isn't there, of Damon Hill, where his car was just
brown.
It was brown. It was Jacques Villeneuve's car that was. Yeah.
But he ran out of tear offs.
Yeah.
And when he came in, he'd been trying to wipe his visor with his hand.
Yeah.
And it was all smeared with oil. So you know that it can just as easily happen to a visor as it can the windscreen.
Oh yeah, but I mean you can wipe your visor.
Oh yeah, yeah. I realise that. But you just have to go in the pits. You know, you'd have to pit. So and the other thing I'd think is, I wouldn't be surprised that unless something goes the way air's worked on a Formula One car, I'd imagine it's fucking sent all over loads of places before it comes right over the top of the screen anyway.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that they'll incorporate that aero part of it into it so that once it's going over a certain speed, nothing will actually contact it.
I'd imagine that might solve part of the rain problem as well.
Possibly.
Yeah, but it's in the same as you don't get wet in a soft top.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with the roof down. Or as wet as you'd think you'd get.
Yeah.
You still get wet.
Yeah.
But it's your controls that you have to worry about on your centre console. It's the same thing about when you drive forward in a convertible. Why does your hair blow forwards? Yeah. Your hair blows forwards because what you're doing is you're cutting a wedge shape into the air and the air has to rush in from behind to replace the air you've just pushed out of the way.
Yeah.
So that's why your hair always goes forward when you're driving a convertible.
The fact that happens quite a lot to me because I do have long hair at the moment.
I've just cut my hair in the last couple of weeks, so yeah, I don't have that problem at the moment. And I also don't own a convertible.
Fair point.
It is my pet peeve at the minute because I hate comment sections on the internet. For some reason, comment sections brings out the fucking asshole in people. And I think I reply, I very rarely reply to comments because it doesn't do any good. It just annoys you. With the people that were complaining about the cockpit, I won't watch Formula One again. I won't do this. I won't do that. You just think, well, you're the problem here. Like, if all we lose by having cockpits is a few Neanderthals that watch Formula One for a bloodbath, and they're probably next to their television, they've got fucking Crash Volume 1 to fucking 89. You know, you're not a Formula One fan. You're a Carnage fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch UFC and NASCAR.
You're the people who bought monster truck videos in the 90s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. just to watch them roll over.
Yeah.
Shall we move on? Shall we do something a bit more lighthearted?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Shall we have a Captain Obvious?
We've got a Captain Obvious this week.
We've got a Captain Obvious this week.
Right.
Yeah.
Just the one?
Just the one.
Well, then we know who's winning it. Then,
we know who's going to win it, but I think this is a classic. Rob Smedley. We've got 2017 coming up next year, which is good.
nice.
Yeah, it would be, bearing in mind it's 2016 at the moment, and if we had 2018 coming up next year, I'd worry.
I am Rob Smedley, Lord of the Calendar.
I don't think anything that anyone else said at all over the course of the entire Grand Prix weekend compares to that for a Captain Obvious.
I will just throw in something else just purely for competition purposes.
Yeah.
Sebastian Vettel, what the fuck are we doing here? Yeah. which is again, it's a rhetorical question.
I'm sorry, if Vettel's entered in this, Vettel wins. Vettel just deserves to win all of it for that. He deserved points for that radio communication.
it was a grand radio communication, but I'm gonna gift it to Rob Smedley.
I'm going with Rob Smedley as well.
I realise that, but
you know that Rob Smedley's going to win, but you want Vettel to get a vote.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So it's 2-1 as we were down this week. So congratulations, Rob Smedley. You are this week's Captain Obvious.
I'm never going to join in saying that.
No, you're not, are you? I think that's about it for this week, isn't it?
Is it? Have we got much else going on? Your voice in F1? We got much more on that?
Well, I was going to say keep the emails and tweets coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Use the hashtag Your Voice in F1. And on a quiet week, we will put our thoughts together.
Yeah, tweet during the race as well. I had a really nice chat with Gemma about what was going on during the race.
Have you started revising yet?
No, she's got to finish the podcast.
Then start revising.
Yeah, and your man texted me as well. What was his name? Tweeted me even.
Michael.
Yeah, Mike gave me a tweet. That was nice.
We've had a couple of. Have you had any emails this week?
We've
got a mailbag section.
Nothing much in the mailbag on email.
Last week's podcast, to be quite fair, was quite short in comparison, because there wasn't a lot to talk about.
Mm. This week there is a lot.
Yes.
But we've had a couple of tweets from long time friend of the show. Oh, that's Steve Wright, isn't it?
Long time friend of the show.
Yeah. Ryan from Onken.
Ah, yes.
Suggesting for a new game, Danny's Russian Roulette. Which driver is he going to hit next?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There's potential there.
Jeez.
Although my money would be on Vettel.
He just seems to be
if he's anywhere near Sebastian Vettel again for the next however long.
Yeah, I think one more bump on Vettel and Seb will be taking out a restraining order.
Mm. He won't be allowed within 500 feet.
Yeah.
I want to ask our lovely listeners for a favour as well.
Oh dear.
Because, yeah,
careful
it is.
Now.
No, it is. Well, we're all friends. It's fine. Brothers help brothers out. I want to get a copy of F1 2016.
It's 2016. Yeah, because we've got 2017 coming up next year, which is good.
I want a review copy. I want a review copy so that our listeners that obviously like Formula 1, if you don't like Formula 1, what the fuck are you doing here?
Hello, Jeff, listening to Fall Asleep.
But it's like, if you can trust me, I'll tell you what it's like, and I like Formula 1. So if anyone's on Twitter that follows Codemasters and is a gamer, give Codemasters a tweet and just let them know that I'm after a review copy. I've let them know, and I think if some of the listeners do, it's all going to be
It'll
be gravy.
Lee is our sort of resident kind of gaming expert as well when it sort of comes to these kind of things. You've got another shout out for a game that you spotted this week as well.
Yeah, the FL Formula Manager, I believe it's called. It's only an Android game. We're not sponsored by it. Oh, sorry, FL Racing Manager.
FL Racing Manager, yeah, on the for Android on the Google Play Store.
And there's a Pro and there's a Lite. I bought the Pro. We're not sponsored by it, so it's not me trying to get us money for something.
Although if they want to sponsor us.
But I started playing it 24 hours ago.
On the 2016 season?
On the 2016 season.
With 2017 coming up next year, which was good.
Yeah. I am now in 2028 after 13 seasons. And it's one of the most fun Formula One manager games I've ever played. It's got, it's just a one player thing. It's not a community thing. There's no microtransactions or anything like that. You can make your own team. So Stephen's F1 is doing really well. Verstappen's 30 now in this. He's the old guard. So
we've been playing while we've been recording this, because he was 29 earlier.
I've done two races since we started recording. it's really good. I was up till like 3 o'clock in the morning, sat in bed with, trying to be quiet with my girlfriend next week, going, oh come on, just sign for me, you prick. But it's really good. Anyone with an Android phone, I think it's on iOS as well, so yeah, you should go and download it, because it's pretty good fun and you can do it instead of working.
There you go.
Not that we would encourage people not to.
I would, yeah.
Actually you would. Just the other thing from...
My boss is well slack.
Just the other thing from Ryan. Why is it only the Mercedes factory team having the engine issues? The customers seem to be okay.
There is that. I don't know exactly how the customer teams put their power units together, whether they get them in component form and then they build them, or whether they have a Mercedes engine power unit engineers working with the teams who assemble the power units in, and install them for
They send them as sealed units.
Sealed, separate components. Well, then this is the thing. It might be that the customer teams, it weirdly, have stronger, accessories. Stronger ancillaries for the power units, because what we might find the Mercedes are doing is literally pushing the boundaries of like, how much thinner can we make this to make it lighter? How much stronger?
That's grand. It's a great theory, and I understand what Savo is trying to say. That's the only thing I
can literally come up with.
But the problem is, Mercedes aren't having problems with engines.
Well, we don't know.
They're having problems with Lewis's engines.
Lewis is having a problem with engines.
Yes.
And I genuinely, that comment there leads more to the Lewis conspiracy theory than it does to Mercedes having the problems and the other teams not having the problems. Because all the other Mercedes seem to be fine, including Rosberg's.
And Wehrlein.
Hmm?
And Wehrlein. In the manor, he's got a Mercedes engine. He's doing all right.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Right? I know we've been talking about this for a while now. What do Mercedes do? Who are they going to get rid of when they want to put Wehrlein in a car?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah,
because I don't think we can crack on with Hamilton and Rosberg in the car for much longer. Maybe the next couple of years, but it's not going to be a forever thing, is it?
I reckon the one who loses the world championship this year will say that their position is untenable,
and they have to go.
Mm. Yeah, see the
Lewis back to McLaren.
See, this is it's not racist. It's marketing. Where and this is why Lewis fits so out. Don't look at Paul. It's grand. I've got this.
No, I'm looking at both of you.
Lewis is really good for Mercedes because with him being a black Formula One driver, he's it's a real target audience for Mercedes.
Lewis is a brand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brand Hamilton.
Yeah, that's brand. Grand.
Hashtag LH44.
That's the bunny.
But the thing is, if you've got, not only in Wehrlein, do you have your black Formula One driver, which is trying to help push into, to help push you into different markets. He's also German for them. So he ticks. Right now, they've got that problem where they've got a driver which they think can sell more cars for them and a driver which is German which they want to win the world championship. Wehrlein's the whole fucking package.
Marketable. German.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decent commodity.
Yeah. So, I can't see... I can see Nico being number two'd
to Pascal Wehrlein
in his career. Yeah,
mm.
Lewis isn't going to get number two'd.
No, never.
No, he's probably got that written into any contract that gets put in front of him that the focus is on him.
And how old's Lewis? 30. 30 now.
Yeah.
So
31, I think, is he now? 31.
Is he? Possibly. He's in his 30s.
Yeah. So let's say you get Pascal in the car. So Lewis has got 5 to 6 years of championship winning years ahead of him.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's too much if you're wanting to get your protege in. And let's not forget that. Like Pascal Wehrlein.
Yeah, don't forget, Toto Wolff is only head of Mercedes Motorsport.
Yeah, no, but Pascal Wehrlein has been grown.
Yeah,
for Mercedes, like Lewis was grooming McLaren.
Grooming a test tube. Yeah. And...
There'll be people above Toto Wolff in Mercedes who want Pascal Wehrlein in that car.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I think there's people above Toto Wolff that want...
After two years
of dominant Mercedes, I think there's people back at Stuttgart that want a German world champion.
When Norbert Haug was head of Mercedes, they had that dream team Germany, didn't they? Mercedes with Rosberg and Schumacher.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work out for them because Schumacher didn't really refine his form. And the car wasn't really up to it then either. But even when it was, Rosberg was on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often wonder what would have happened if Schumacher would have kept his pole in
Monaco without the penalty.
If he could have won a race, where he'd have gone from there.
Yeah.
Mm. That's interesting. Let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm. Give us a share.
Yeah, drop us a tweet at Three Legs Four Wheels.
Yeah.
I'm at Pablo100. Lee.
I'm at Lee_drummer.
You say it like a question every week. Yes, you are.
At Flood21.
And of course, don't forget to email us. You can email us as well on threelegsfourwheels@gmail.com.
Don't forget to tweet the Codemasters game to get me a free game.
You want to review it for journalistic purposes.
I do want to review it, actually. No, I do. I genuinely do want to review it.
It's to review it for our fans.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone that plays games will go to like media websites and stuff like that. You know, for IGN.
Well, you just listen to us.
GameSpot. No, but the thing is, they're reviewing it as a video game, whereas I'm going to review it as a video game.
For Formula One.
Don't tell Codemasters. I'm going to do it anyway, but I'd really like to do it as a review copy, so I can get our review out with the other outlets.
Yes.
Yeah. Forward planning. Yeah. Right, we will see you next week. We should have Dan back by then.
I think so. I think he's back next week.
So keep watching, keep tweeting, keep emailing. We'll see you soon.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
You can revise now, Gemma.